Also, starting on March the 14th, Monday night, March the 14th at 7 p.m., right here in the church in the lecture hall, our men's group that meets every Monday night is going to begin to go through something called Project Samson. This is a teaching that is actually brought to us from by a pastor from outside of our church who has been involved very heavily in seeing people get set free from sexual addiction. And he will be here beginning March the 14th at 7 p.m. and will be here going through this liberty walk with our men. We also want to invited to that are teens. If you're a young man and you're in your 15 years old or up, you're welcome, okay? So if you're out there and you need some help with that or you'd like to learn more about that so you can help other people be free, maybe you've got friends that are really struggling and you are wondering, I don't know how to help them, come out on the 14th of March at 7:15 in the lecture hall, and our men will be going through this study together, and they'd love to have you, okay? All right, Genesis chapter 22. You know, Easter, as you just saw in the video, is just a couple of weeks away. Somebody said, "Do you aware?" I know I heard somebody think, "Are you aware, Pastor, of what time it is?" Yes, I'm aware. Okay, so I will get through this morning, and it'll be okay. But Easter's just a couple of weeks away, and I want to share with you a prophetic picture that was presented to us many years before the death of Jesus in Jerusalem. It's a picture pointing to, everybody said it was pointing to. It was pointing to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God. So Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And God said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and he arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad, or the young man, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. It's a powerful statement. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac said to Abraham, his father, he said, Dad. And he said, Here I am, son. And then he said, Look, here's the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, Son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. And the two of them went on together. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, and he placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Yes. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the boy and do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. So in this account, we see Abraham's name, depending upon how you want to look at it, meant exalted father or even father of a multitude. You see this man being directed by God to sacrifice his son Isaac. Now, Abraham's human, just like the rest of us in this room. And I can only imagine the turmoil that he experienced over God's command. Think about this. On the day that Isaac was weaned, Abraham gave a great feast. And at the feast, Ishmael, who was also Abraham's son, but was his son by Hagar, the Egyptian slave girl, Ishmael was seen mocking the events that were going on that day. He was jealous and he was mocking what was happening with Isaac. And Sarah told Abraham, she said, I want you to get rid of that slave girl and her son. So Abraham, this is tough on him. It's his boy. So Abraham goes to God and God says, send him away. And he tells him this in Genesis 21:12. He said, it is in Isaac that your seed shall be called. So now here's God. Let's come back to where we are in this story. Here's God telling Abraham to sacrifice the very one through whom the future seed is supposed to come. Anybody ever received a confusing command from God? This is the son Abraham's been waiting for 25 years. This is the son that came from his wife whom they said was barren. It was the son of a miracle. This is the son he loves. This is Abraham's future. Yet early the next morning, Abraham starts on his journey to obey God. God Almighty directed Abraham. Abraham obeyed the Lord, and he began to walk contrary to natural processes and began to walk straight into a faith walk. God tells Abraham that he wants him to take him to a certain mountain in the land of Moriah. So Abraham loads the donkey with wood. He takes two servants as his sons with him, and he heads to the place that God is talking to him about. Now, as I said earlier, this is a prophetic picture. But Abraham didn't realize it was a prophetic picture. The turmoil is real for Abraham. He doesn't realize what is going on here. The scripture tells us that Abraham is the father of our faith. It tells us that in Romans 4:16, and it talks about that in Isaiah 51, verses 1 and 2. And Isaiah, through Abraham, God is showing us and prophesying of the day of redemption for all mankind. And through the obedience of Abraham, God is showing us the pathway to live a supernatural life. So let's take a look at what happened in this story that speaks of the prophetic significance of God's command to Abraham. In other words, let's look at some prophetic parallels between Abraham's command from God and what happened with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First of all, God told Abraham in verse 2, he said, take your son, your only son, Isaac. Now, we know Abraham had another son named Ishmael. But that was the son after the flesh. In other words, that was the son that was created through Abraham through man's effort to bring God's word to pass. You know what? God's not going to recognize your effort to bring his word to pass. All right? And I want you to listen to that real good because I'm going to talk about that at the end. There are a lot of people that are trying to do God's work. They're trying to do what is reserved for God. They're trying to make what is reserved for God come to pass in their life through their own effort. God's not recognizing that. And then the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave what? His one and his only son. So there's a parallel there. Another parallel is this. God said, go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice your son there. It's believed that this area is where the city of Jerusalem was built many years later, where Jesus was sacrificed, crucified outside of the city walls, as it talks about in Hebrews 13:12. So God actually directed Abraham to take his son to the very site or the very place where the temple of God would be built on, to the very place where his own son would be sacrificed later down the road. Then, let's look at another parallel. It says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw the place far off. The Son of Man, it says in Matthew 17, 22 and 23, is about to be betrayed into the hands of men and they shall kill him. And on the third day, he'll be raised up. For all practical purposes, for 3 days, Abraham's son was dead. Dead to him. Took him 3 days to get to the place that God told him to go to. And Jesus was 3 days in the earth, in the grave. Another parallel, it says, sacrifice Isaac, there is a burnt offering. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:3, it tells us Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And then finally, it says this, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and he placed it on his son. And then in John 19:17, as it talks about Jesus' pathway to Calvary, it says Jesus carrying his own cross. So, see the picture in your mind. Abraham dismounts from the donkey. He says to the young men, stay here with the donkey. The young man and I are going to go yonder and worship. I think Abraham didn't want the young men to go with him because he knew they wouldn't understand what was going on. Maybe he was afraid they'd try to stop him. And Abraham said, stay here with the donkey. The young man and I are going to go yonder. We're going to worship. And then some of the most powerful words you can ever read, he said, and then we, everybody say we. He said, we will come back to you. Now, Abraham had two words from God. He had a word that Isaac, it would be through Isaac that his seed would be called, and he had a word from God to go sacrifice his son Isaac on the mountain. And they seemed to be incompatible. And so here they go walking up the hill. Abraham has two words that don't seem to go together. So when you have two words that don't seem to go together, what do you do? You keep on moving. You go according to the last word that God told you. And you move forward because you know if those two words aren't compatible with one another, at some point in time, God's going to have to intervene. And Abraham knew that. He knew that he and Isaac were just not walking that hill alone. At some point in time, God was going to have to show up. Because he knew the two words did not come together. The only way they could be brought together was through God bringing them together. So they go up the hill. Here's Isaac, the son of promise, carrying the wood on his back, just like our Savior carried the wood toward the hill called Calvary. Abraham's going with him, a knife in one hand, the instrument of death in one hand, and in another hand, the fire, the instrument of consumption. And Isaac looks over at Abraham and he says, here's the fire and the wood, Dad, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? I can imagine if I would have been Abraham at that time, I'd have had a little quiver in my voice when I answered back. Abraham said, son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. And I love what it says next. The two of them went on together. They just kept on going. Man, somebody's got a tough word from God. You don't know how it's all going to work out. You just need to keep on going. Because God will fulfill what he has promised to you. He will fulfill his word. So Abraham takes Isaac to the top of the mountain. I bet Abraham was hoping there'd be a big angel standing right there. There was not a big angel right there. It was a big open place. Abraham gets there. He begins to build an altar. Abraham situates the wood, still wondering where God is. Now it comes time to wrap your son's hands and bind him. He ties his son's hands, lays his son on the altar, ties him to the altar probably. And then here comes the time for your hand to reach out and take the knife. Some people say, you know, I don't have to go through with what God told me to. I just have to be willing. I bet Abraham was wishing that was enough at that point in time. Can you imagine what he must have thought about when he says, when I tie up my son to the altar, I wonder what my son's going to think about all this. Anyway, here we go. And Abraham stretches his hand out toward the knife, and all of a sudden he hears a word from God. God appears, and he says, Abraham. He calls his name twice. And he says, don't sacrifice your son. He said, but through your actions I have seen that I am first in your life. Bible says, God says, I will have no other gods before me. You are not to serve your promises that have been fulfilled. You are not to serve the people I put in your life. You are not to serve anything else but me. I will be first. and it is only through me being first that you will walk in a supernatural lifestyle. Until I am first, then you will constantly be going through this Abraham and Isaac situation. I'm going to constantly be telling you, sacrifice what is first before me so that I can take my rightful place. And it was after this event happened and God spoke up and said, don't do that, that Abraham hears a rustling behind him and he turns around. There's a ram with his horns caught in a thicket. And Abraham takes that ram and he sacrifices that ram on the altar instead of his son. And in that, we see another prophetic parallel. We see resurrection. Isaac was resurrected figuratively, and Jesus was resurrected in reality. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus was buried, was raised, and was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. Now, the events that we have read with Abraham took place approximately 2,000 years before this prophetic type became a reality in Jesus Christ. Now, many of you have this type of prophetic thing, and I talked about this a minute ago, going on in your own life right now. God seems to be approaching you, and what you see in his hand is a knife. There are times when God has approached me, and what he has been carrying in his hand was a knife. And when God approaches you in that way, it's a fearful thing. But there are people that God is coming to right now that are saying, if you are depending upon anything other than me, there are women in this room, and there's probably some men too, but there's women in this room that are in a relationship you are not supposed to be in biblically because that man is providing for you. God says, I'll have no other providers before me. I will have no other providers before me. He said, if that man is biblically not supposed to be in a relationship with you, if he's not born again, if he's not saved, he says, put him on the altar and let's get out the instrument of death. Right? And some of you are so busy trying to turn a goat into a lamb. Well, he'll change one of these days. He'll change one of these days. God didn't say hold on to it and let it change one of these days. God said, do not be unequally yoked. That's what he said. And he said, get rid of the slave woman. Get rid of the slave man. Get them out of here. Well, Lord, how am I going to eat? You're going to have to go through the same thing Abraham went through. All I've got is a word from God. I haven't seen the action of this thing yet. None of this stuff makes sense. God's telling me that he's my provider. Now he's getting rid of the only source of provision that I know. Sounds like God. Because God says, I'll have no other gods before me. There are other people in this room that you've got things you're holding on to, things you're depending upon, things you're looking to. It's not God. God's saying get rid of it. And God's approaching you with a knife. And you're fighting and you're running and you're scrambling. You're going back to the jackass. You're going to get back on the donkey and head away from here. And you know, it's in that place that the supernatural is known, through obedience to God's word. Everybody says, wonder why I don't really see any miracles in my life, because you have not obeyed God to the fullest extent. All right? That's when you begin to see miracles in your life, when you put him in the place that he's supposed to be in. And so God's approaching some of you with a knife today, and some of you just need to put some things on the altar. But when you see him approaching you with a knife, don't forget to look at the other hand, because he's got something in the other hand as well. Abraham had a knife in one hand, and in another hand he had the fire. And man, in the Bible, we know the fire represents the Holy Spirit of God. And if God is coming toward you with a knife to see you sacrifice or get rid of something out of your life to put it on the altar, then do not forget to look at the other hand, because once that's done, he's going to put the fire of the Holy Spirit on that sacrifice, and you're going to begin to live in a way and in a lifestyle that you've never known before, you've never experienced before. The consumption of the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. You're going to begin to understand what it said about Jesus, that the Father gave him the Spirit without measure, without measure. Is that my phone? No. That without measure, he just gave it to him, and God's ready to do that with you. And whenever God asks you, approaches you with a knife and tells you something needs to die, you better look in the other hand. But you're never going to experience what's in the other hand till you submit to the instrument of death. Okay, so let's just bow our heads here for a second. If you're here today, now I'm going to tell you something. The reason God gave me this word is because he wants to set you on fire. He wants to set you on fire. All right, but there is a process that must happen, because if this process does not happen, it violates the very character of God. If God did it differently in your life than going through the process of death and then fire, then he would violate who he is. And he will not do that. All right? And he would leave something alive that in the long run will end up snuffing out your fire. God says, I came to abide. I didn't just come to visit. But if he's going to abide, then you're going to have to put whatever on the altar he's telling you to put on the altar, and you're going to have to let it die. And you're probably going to have to be the one's going to stretch out his hand to the knife and kill it. Some things were born to die. I asked God one time, I said, well, I've got this thing in my life. He said, you know what that thing in your life's destiny is? I said, what? He said, death. Death. That's its destiny. It has no other destiny but to die. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, your word's speaking to me. It's not my word. It's the word out of the Bible. It's a word through the Holy Spirit. If you're here and you say, Pastor, that word is really speaking to me in some manner, God's really talking to me through that, just, I'm not going to ask you to come down, but just stand right where you are. Okay? Just stand up. Go ahead. Okay? All right? Anybody else feel like God's approaching you right now with a knife? And all he's talking to you about is this thing needs to go. This thing needs to die. This thing's got to, I can't be God and this thing be in your life. I can't be your God and this thing be in your life. You know, Greg Laurie said something I really liked on the video the other day. He said all roads lead to God. But only one road leads to deliverance and salvation. Okay. I'm going to pray. I believe that through you guys standing, I believe what you're doing is you're approaching the altar. You're building an altar. And you're laying this thing down. So let's lay this down, okay? Father, we're building an altar here. And we're approaching you and we're laying this thing down that you're saying has to die, that its destiny in my life is death. And Lord, I place this on the altar and I bind it onto the altar so I can't pick it back up off the altar and it can't get up. And Lord, I take my hand to the knife and I put the knife to this thing. And I cut any association with it. I cut any agreement with it. I cut all of that off. As of right now, it's dead and in God's hands. Now, Lord, I pray that as they make this declaration to you, that you will set them on fire with the Spirit of the living God. Father, help them to see that in the other hand is the fire. And make them so hungry and jealous for the fire, Lord, that they'll do anything to experience that. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to show yourself mighty. You are going to provide the ram for their life. You have already provided the lamb for them. The lamb is Jesus Christ that takes away the sin of the world. But everything that you are as our Savior and as our God, I pray for your release of those things in their life. I am that I am. And I give you praise for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You may be seated. All right, you know what you do with a knife. You kill it. One day, one last thing, Jesus was approached by the Jews one day, and they were giving him a hard time about who he was and who he was saying he was. And began to talk to him, and in John chapter 8, it's a long chapter, very far down toward the end of the chapter, Jesus said to them, he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And then look what it says. This is past tense. He saw it. And look what Abraham's response to sin it was. He was glad. How did Abraham see Jesus' day? He saw it on the Mount Moriah. He saw it. He saw the substitute sacrifice. He saw what God was willing to do. He saw it all fulfilled right in front of him. He walked off with his son, delivered and saved because of the intervention of God. And if you're willing to go to this step, you're going to see it. And you're going to walk away with gladness. And Jesus went on to tell them, he said, before Abraham was, he said, I am. And that's the same word that God spoke to Moses at the bush. You go tell them the I am is here. So I'm telling you what, the I am is showing up in your life. And you, if you're willing to submit to God's process, you're going to get set on fire by the I am. And that I am, no matter what this thing, what role this thing's been operating in your life, provider, false comforter, ungodly companionship, whatever role this thing's been fulfilling as a counterfeit, the real one's going to show up. The I am is. And he's going to show up, and you're going to know God like you've never known him before. Let's all stand.